Okay. And I'd like to welcome you to Women Are Not Funny, the radio show that has a premise that needs to be disproved. Do you remember your freshman year of college? Who could possibly forget? Now, my question assumes that you were sober during that year, and it also assumes that you went to college. But no matter, because there's really no reason for you to remember your freshman year in college, because today's guest, Addie Jane, is here with some fresh, brand new 21st century memories of her freshman year. And it happened very recently. But first, I have to go back to my old standard and talk to you a little bit about Ann Curry, because this week someone on her blog, her very own blog, suggested that my Ann Curry bashing last week was a tiny bit mean. And that hurt me to the quick, because what it means is that I misunderstood. And I suppose I could get all cosmic and start talking about whether underneath it all we're all misunderstood, and if being misunderstood isn't the nature and essence of life, and, you know, all of that deep stuff that I'm very capable of discussing endlessly. But instead, I think I'd better just remind you the reason that I bash Ann Curry and have. You know, it has very little to do with my reputed meanness. It's more about my scorn for Ann Curry, and to tell you the truth, it goes back many years. It really predates Women Are Not Funny Radio. One of my best friends from law school and I used to spend hours happily engaging in Ann Curry bashing. It was one of our favorite activities, and the reason we did, the reason we felt it was necessary, is we couldn't help but notice that Ann Curry has a very annoying style. You know, she has not only questions, she has all the answers, and she just won't shut up. And all of her questions are annoyingly assumptive, and you have to understand that my strong belief that her interviewing style was the most obnoxious interview style possible caused me a world of pain and hurt when I started doing Women Are Not Funny and realized that my own interview style was really very much like Ann's. And, you know, except possibly even more annoying. The reason, though, that I tell you this really has very little to do with you needing to know it. It's really much more complex than that. And it really has nothing to do with me being mean. I'm certainly mean, but that's not the reason. You see, the reason I talk about Ann Curry and how annoying she is, and then I admit to being annoying myself, that is my way of being charmingly self-deprecating. And it's also kind of a rhetorical strategy, because by comparing myself to Ann Curry, I imply that I'm somehow in the same journalistic league. And, you know, it adds to my own notoriety. And it pleases friends of mine, certain friends of mine, and particularly Renee, the friend I mentioned, who used to join me in the Ann Curry bashing. And apparently it also bolsters my reputation as a meanie, and I guess that's not all bad. But another reason is it's just a ratings bonanza for both Ann Curry and for Women Are Not Funny Radio. So those are the reasons, and if you find me mean, you know, I can only concur, but not apologize, because it is, you know, it's not really the purpose. It's just a happy accident. Now, today we have a fabulous guest. She's actually in the category of a regular featured guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio. But today is her first appearance, because this entire first 5.5 months of 2010, today's guest was enrolled in college in a course that actually met on Friday. Now, there were several occasions where I suggested that she could come on the show, that because what I anticipated when I recruited her to be a regular featured guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio is that she would check in on many occasions to give us that fresh, young, with it, college girl perspective. But then, you know, college itself got in the way. And I really didn't know what to do when I learned this, you know. And my first thought was maybe she should drop out of college so that she could actually appear on the show. And I, you know, I talked with her about that. And she's really kind of a trooper, but apparently very devoted to becoming educated. So she simply wouldn't hear of it. But fortunately, school is out. You know, the freshman year, it's over. It's done. And all we can do today is talk about it, because we will be talking about it, looking over our shoulders at it. We're not talking about it while it's going on. It's gone. It's gone. But those memories are fresh, and I think we're going to hear a few today. But first, I must ask her, Addie Jane Binge, are you using your appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone to something better?
Of course not. I would never do that to my aunt.
Well, you know, that's very sweet, you know, and I guess the cat is out of the bag. I am, in fact, your aunt, and I'm so happy that you will actually claim me. But I must ask, because I'm really not completely satisfied with your answer. Do you have designs for taking over my show?
If you're asking me truthfully, I guess they're in the works.
Well, see, there, you know, I'm glad to hear that you have some ambition, darling, because I think that's very, very important. And you know, as far as using this as a stepping stone, I just hope and expect that your appearance today and in the future on Women Are Not Funny Radio will propel you into the stratosphere of any endeavor you want to engage in, because I think you're terrific, and I have reason to, it's not even just a guess, I have reason to know. So I have a million questions for you, Addie Jane, and, you know, some of them are very mundane questions, just kind of practical, you know, silly dorm-related questions and that sort of thing. And then I have some bigger, more global questions for you. I mean, it's just a mixed bag. And I can tell you this, after, you know, school's out, so it shouldn't bother you at all that my questions are very disorganized. How do you feel about that?
That's okay with me.
Really?
I don't need organization.
So you know, the fact that they're not in a bulleted outline, that they're just all over the page. I mean, it's just, you know, I wish I could give you a screenshot of this, but let's start. Let's start with the dorm. So you're no longer living in the dormitory, but you spent the last year living in the dorm, or the last 9 months. What was that like?
It was so weird because at my school, we actually, instead of having one roommate, I had two. So the room that I was in was smaller than my room at home, and it was the size of a dorm room that two people should have been in, but it was a forced triple. So we were very crammed. It was something new to get used to.
I guess so. And, you know, you've never had to share a room.
No.
And then you were sharing it with two people.
Two people.
And I've not heard that term, a forced triple. I mean, that sounds dangerous.
Yes, it's a lot of us in one room, but it worked out.
Where do you go when you want to be alone?
There's no such thing as being alone.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the other things too. I know, like when I'm at home, this was always when I'm home. Everyone's so accessible now because everyone has a cell phone.
Right.
But when you're home, if somebody's calling you, you can just not pick up and pretend like you were busy. But at school, they don't call you. They knock on your door. So there's always someone else there.
Well, I guess that's true. Well, that begs the question, was your dorm a co-ed dorm?
It was a co-ed dorm.
See, I cannot imagine. Now, I'm no dinosaur, listeners. I am no dinosaur. But I was in college before co-ed dorms.
Really?
I cannot imagine. I suppose if it's all you know, I suppose if you're in a co-ed dorm, it's all you know. And so it seems as normal and as natural as living in a dorm possibly could. Let's assume that living in a dorm could possibly seem normal and natural. But my goodness, so you were just there with the boys. Well, let's step back about before we go there, because one thing that our listeners, I think, would find very interesting is that when you were in the process of selecting a school, obviously, you applied to more than one, but one of the schools that you applied to is very, all of the schools you applied to were prestigious, certainly, but one of them has kind of, for me, a high fantasy element, and it's such an unusual school. You applied and were accepted at Fashion Institute of Technology.
Yep.
And what I think is really great is, you know, because I knew nothing about this sort of thing, but I was shocked at the time you applied because instead of writing an essay, they required something else, didn't they?
Uh-huh. You, completely different.
You had to make instead of an essay, you had to make a handbag. Is that correct?
That's right. It was the accessories department.
The accessories department. So tell me about that.
Well, it's one of the smallest departments at FIT, but it's also one of the most competitive. So I had been, since I think when I was in middle school, I had been taking classes out of a woman's house who used to teach in the accessories department at FIT. But she stopped, and she was doing just stuff out of her house. And so I was taking classes in how to make handbags, all sorts of accessories. She made shoes, handbags, hats. I made a blazer with her. She did all sorts of things. So she helped me put together my portfolio. But on the day of the portfolio review, I think it's about 250 to 350 people any given semester that will apply to this department, and they'll only accept between 20 and 25.
Wow.
And I was so fortunate to get accepted.
But
I didn't accept it, which is weird. I think some people think it's so weird because it was so competitive and I did have a good portfolio, and it was like the people who reviewed it loved it, and they were shocked because one of the pieces that I had brought in for my portfolio was a piece I made when I was 14.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how cool to have been accepted and then you decided not to go there. But why, you know, my belief, my understanding is that it did have something to do with the opportunity to live in a co-ed dorm. Right?
I don't know if it was that so much as the fact that I went to all-girls high school. So the idea to me, I transferred to the all-girls high school, so I only did 3 years at it. But I was so used to it, I barely remembered what it was like to be in co-ed classes. And I knew that if I went to FIT, it was going to be all girls.
Right.
So I figured.
Well, that's what I meant. And I think that was very strategic. Although, you know, it's an old-fashioned notion. Once again, I will not admit to being a dinosaur. Mm-hmm. But very much it was the case back when I started college that, you know, one of the purposes was to find a husband. You know, that was just. And it is very hard to find a husband at an all-girl school. That is that is true. You know, there are opportunities, but anyway, I give you credit for that. And apparently, University of Rhode Island is a very cool school.
Yeah, it's a lot of. I love it. It's great. It's completely different than anywhere I've ever been, but I'm not complaining at all.
Well, I have actually, and I don't think you know this, but I have actually been to Providence on several occasions on business.
Oh, really?
Really. Yeah,
uh-huh.
It's been a few years, but I've been there on business, and it was actually related to the jewelry business. I'm sure you are aware that Providence, Rhode Island is in, for the U.S., is the kind of headquarters for the costume jewelry industry in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see any evidence of that when you were at school this past year? Did you just have a sense that there buzzing around was, you know, the entire United States costume jewelry industry?
I actually, someone had told me that it was one of the head places of the industry, but I actually didn't. I did not actually go to Providence that much,
mm-hmm.
which is surprising. But
so you just stayed on campus?
No, I was about 45 minutes from Providence, so we went like once a month. But I was really south. The campus is really south. It's by Newport and Narragansett, so really Newport and Narragansett were like the two main places we went to. We didn't go to Providence so much.
Addie, I had no idea. I have been to Newport and love Newport.
It's beautiful.
Goodness. Is it ever?
I know. It's gorgeous. And you obviously did the Newport Mansion tour.
Yeah, I did. But you know what? The thing about it is, when I got there, you know, I thought, what took me so long? And why wasn't it obvious, you know, if for a couple of centuries that has been the place for the rich and famous vacation, you know, why wouldn't I just get it through my head that that might be a worthwhile place to go? And, you know, it is so beautiful. And it of course, in addition to that wonderful jazz festival, the harbor is terrific. Yes, the mansions or the cottages, as they're called. And it's also kind of a tennis, you know, has a tennis presence, if you will. And so a lot going on there. Man, you're good at choosing schools. Maybe that could be another kind of side vocation for you, is helping people get to the right school. Maybe you had a much more glamorous first year of college than I did. Now, tell me, though, one thing that is not glamorous, unless it's changed, dorm food. Tell me about dorm food.
Well, supposedly, this is what I've been told. We have one of, like, the top dining opportunities in the country at my school. I find it hard to believe. But we definitely, there's a lot of options, And I remember when we all first got there, like, our main cafeteria has a deli, it has pizza, it has ice cream, it has, like, stir fry, hamburgers, hot dogs. There's always, like, something special made. There's a big salad bar. There's an omelet station. There's a lot going on. And I remember first getting there and talking to some of, like, the older kids, and they were saying how, oh, you'll think it's so great in the very beginning, but you're going to get so sick of it so fast. And my friends and I all said, we're like, there's no way you could ever get sick of this. There's so much to choose from. But no, we got sick of it in, like, October. We were over it.
How funny. No, I can't imagine such a thing. I really can't imagine.
I remember they were saying that, and I was adamant that I would never get sick of it. I was like, how could you ever? There's so much. Nope.
Well, so is the cafeteria then, is that what you call it, the cafeteria, the dorm cafeteria? Is it, would you consider it a gathering place or just a fuel station?
Well, we have one main cafeteria and then a second smaller one. And I actually, the building I lived in, the cafeteria was underneath us, the smaller one, so it always smelled like food, which got a little old. But we had a couple of different, and then on the side of that, we had a few places that were more like, supposed to be like pizza places or like deli places and like food courts. But, I mean, you always saw people you knew, and every time you went to go eat, there's no escaping anybody. And we would always, like, you know, go eat together and stuff. But I have to say, I feel like in the beginning of the year, we spent a lot more time in there because we didn't know anybody. But, like, the second semester and, like, end of first semester, it wasn't so much, like, social really anymore. It was just, we went in, we ate, we left.
How funny.
Yeah.
Well, you know, speaking of that husband hunt, back when I was in college, and I don't really like repeating myself, but I think it is necessary to state, I am not a dinosaur, but when I was in college, going to dinner, you know, in the school cafeteria, it was really very much a fashion show. You know, so, yes, we would go over there together, but before we went, you know, we had to primp.
Well, you have to look good. You never know who you're going to see.
Exactly. Thank
you. But I feel like you try and look good, and when you look good, you don't see anybody. But then when you say, oh, I'm not going to see anybody, I don't need to do anything, that's when you see the world.
Yeah, well, of course, and that is why, you know, I had to, and now, I mean, it's just, such a thing would be embarrassing because it is so ungreen. But I had to leave the hot rollers plugged in 24/7, you know, because I had to be, you know, I had to always be ready. But I'm glad you understand that. Well, here, let us just for a moment step away from campus and talk a little bit about movies. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I am very curious about this. Now, I've not seen Sex and the City 2. I actually haven't seen Sex and the City 1, now that I think of it. But I have been just fascinated by the reviews. And I was thinking about it as I anticipated our conversation today and wanted to ask you about what movies you've seen lately and what movies you want to see and whether movies play a big part in the college freshman experience. I was thinking about Sex and the City and the fact that these women are kind of known as fashion icons, but they also are the age of your mothers, right? I mean, they are probably not fashion icons to women in your generation. Is that true?
No, I think that they are.
Really? Interesting.
I think so. Yeah, because especially at least Sarah Jessica Parker, because she's crazy with what she'll wear. And I think, I mean, I haven't seen Sex and the City 2, but I saw the first one, and a lot of people saw the first one, and people liked the show. And I think at least Sarah Jessica Parker is. Maybe the other ones, but I think her, I think so.
Well, that is so interesting that you are open to the idea that someone your mother's age could be a fashion icon.
It's funny because I never even thought about the fact that they're like my mom's age.
Yeah, well, all
never
all of
crossed
that,
my mind.
That's interesting. That is so interesting. Well, you know, one of the things that has kind of amazed me, and I have not taken part at all and really am afraid to, and, you know, last month was actually Fitness Month on Women Are Not Funny Radio, and we had several fitness trainers, including your very own mother. I realized that if I were to go for this particular fashion trend, I would have to go into training, a special sort of training, in order to be able to do it, and that is these 6-inch heels.
Oh.
They're amazing. What do you think of them?
I don't have an issue with them. I mean, my mom thinks I'll wear them. I like them. But I don't know if any of mine are 6 inches. I think 5 are as high as I've gone. But
How do you do it, darling? How do you do it? Doesn't it hurt? Tell the truth.
I'm telling you, no, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt me. But I do know, I think I'm just a freak of nature because, like, my friends always complain. And I'm the only one that doesn't complain. I know people that will wear them, and then wherever we go, after, like, 10 minutes of having them on, they'll pull out the flip-flops. But I don't know. I stick it out.
Can you wear them on city streets? Can you really do it? Can you walk in them for
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
and what about platforms?
Platforms?
Platforms and heels.
Only platforms I've ever worn are like heels that have a little platform under the toe or like a wedge,
mm-hmm.
like a wedge sandal type of thing. But I can do it. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm short. I feel like I have to know how to do it. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I do it.
Well, see, that is the thing. I have a 20th year law school anniversary this year.
Mm-hmm.
We call them reunions, don't we? We don't call them anniversaries. Anyway, I would like to be 6 inches taller. You know, I really would. But I think, you know, okay, what should I do? I could train for a triathlon, or I could train to walk in 6-inch heels. Either one would take the same effort, you know. And so I don't know about that, but I'm impressed to hear that you can do that. And of course, since you are and you have always been very, very interested in fashion, even though you opted out of the opportunity to attend Fashion Institute of Technology,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's perfect that you can wear really high heels since they're very much in style. But now, what I have always said, Addie, is that wearing flats was really a beauty treatment, because if your feet don't hurt, you know, you look better. You don't frown. If your feet hurt,
well,
you frown.
I think that people who, I think if you can't walk in them, don't wear them, mm-hmm. because you just look stupid. And I don't mean that meanly at all. But, I mean, you've seen the people that walk in heels and it's like the stomp.
Addie, I don't even have, you know, I have, let's change the subject. So the cafeteria started out as a social scene but then turned into a fueling station. Is there, at University of Rhode Island, is there something known as a student union building?
We do have that.
And what about that? Is that a place to hang out or not?
They have, I guess there's a place, we have two kind of. We have one that's like a lot of academic offices, and it's where you go if you need to talk to somebody, like if you're having a problem with something, that's where you can go, and it's where like the bookstore is. But there's another one that has like a little student store, and it has a little coffee shop and everything, and I think people do go there. We go there when we're bored.
Mm-hmm.
So that works.
It's kind of a bore. You have to be totally bored to want to go there. That's not a place to greet and meet, huh?
I mean, Not really. We went a lot. We'd go and get a coffee like while we were studying and stuff, and then take a little study break and go there. But that's basically, and maybe that's not boredom. Maybe that's just that you want to take a break. But no, I don't think we don't. I don't know. Sometimes we'll just. Sometimes it's when we're.
See, when I was in college, that was my hangout. That was a total hangout for me. But schools vary.
I think it's at my school, maybe, because I do know people at other schools that have places where everyone more gets together and will go to, like, see people and say hi and be social. I definitely have friends that go to schools like that. And I just think – see, it's weird, though, at my school because – and I've noticed this with a lot of my friends – is that when you move off campus at my school, you live 15 minutes away from the school.
Of course.
You're at least 15 minutes.
Of course. Now, how about this? The library. What is the function of the library at your school, 2010, college library? Do people study there?
Yes, definitely, definitely. We have an enormous library. It has 4 or 5 floors. Yeah, 5 floors. And then there's a room that's the 24-hour room, so that's always open. And if you ever need to go and study for anything, you can go there. But I don't really like going there because it gets really loud. A lot of group meetings happen in there. But I think our library, it definitely gets used just for, like, the sole purpose of studying.
Well, do people use books?
I'd have a lot. A lot of teachers, it's obviously easier to just type something into Google and get it up. But a lot of teachers will request that you have at least 2 books, sometimes 3 books, and then you can supplement with an internet source, but the primary source should be a book or encyclopedia.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very cool and old-fashioned and somewhat reassuring,
yeah.
And, you know, all of that. And
I like having a book.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing is you've toted a few, haven't you? Books.
Oh, yes.
Books.
Yes.
You know, and our listeners should know, they may have the idea, since you said, you know, that you want the 6 inches of height. Addie is a petite woman. And so there are many scholarly books that is bigger than she is.
Yes. That was always a big issue in, like, middle school and high school.
Oh, I know. Well, the thing is, though, I mean, you really were a powerhouse, kind of like a Olympic weightlifter, you know, in terms of your ability to handle large loads of books. It was really rather kind of amazing. What about intramural sports? Is that something that ranks high there at University of Rhode Island? Is that something you do or participate in?
I think it does rank high. Like, I have a really good friend who twice a week she goes and plays volleyball with, like, a little clinic. She does it, and they have, like, set up teams. And I know people that go and play tennis and people that all the boys will go play football or soccer. Hockey's really big. But I'm really uncoordinated, so I don't really partake in those too much. But I would like to. I wish I could.
Well, that's so funny. You know, now, when I was in college, intramural sports really were for boys, you know, girls. It just wasn't considered feminine. And that has very much changed, you know, the view of what is feminine. But intramural sports were something that we would go to watch the boys, you know, watch our boyfriends. We had to go. It's kind of like being a soccer mom. You would have to go to whoever you were dating. You would have to go to his game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of a burden. But it's just interesting. Well, speaking of dates, is there a stigma in your generation at this time in your life, in the dorm, whatever, when someone doesn't have a date, is there a stigma about that?
Oh, I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so.
Well,
no.
I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. you know, because back when I was a freshman in college, you know, if you didn't have a date, it was a very embarrassing thing. And fortunately, I didn't suffer that embarrassment. But that's because, you know, I was working it. I was working it. I was socializing. I was at the student union building. I was at all of those places. But, you know, there was a stigma against not having a date. And if you were alone in the dorm, we had this kind of joke going on that if you were alone in the dorm and you didn't have a date, you had to further your misery. We had a copy of a romance novel called Nurse Nancy Goes to Holland. And so that was kind of code for I don't have a date. I guess I will have to stay home tonight and read Nurse Nancy Goes to Holland.
I mean, we definitely joke about it. But I think at the end of the day, it's just joking. I don't think there's like a real stigma. I think people get upset if they don't have a date, but no one really is going to like make fun of you for it. I don't think.
Well, yeah, that would be too mean for words.
It's so mean, yeah.
But you know what is even worse than not having a date? Not having a date is pretty bad, but what is worse? Just this is my opinion, and I offer it up. I mean, we can discuss it. You can see if you agree. You may or may not agree. But I think worse than having a date is having a date with someone who falls in love with you on the first date. Or says they do. How do you feel about that?
It's a little too much.
Mm-hmm. Instantly, they instantly fall in love, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, while you and I can both understand that we are, you know, very seductive and very appealing, and we can certainly understand why that might be the case, but it's still annoying, isn't it?
It's annoying. I mean, I don't know if it's annoying or if it's kind of sad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Or kind of something. But anyway.
Yeah, there's something interesting there.
Okay. Well, here, random.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you the one who gets? You lived in the dorm. In the dorm, there are pranks. Are you the one who gets pranked? Or are you the one who invents the pranks?
I do both.
Really?
I'm good at pranking people, but somebody always gets me back.
Yeah, that's kind of the
problem. That's the whole problem. I'm good at them with the help of other people. One of my friends, Sarah, and I are really good at coming up with ways to prank our friends and prank the people that we live with just to be funny. And she, for some reason, they never get her back as good as they get me back. They get me back really good because I never really expect it. And I'm really gullible. Maybe that's why.
Well, it is fun. It is really fun when your friends do something, you know, funny and mean.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep reminding yourself that. Well, it's difficult for me to describe how such a thing can happen, but I had a situation where they were able to lock me in the bathroom. You know? And the thing is, once people figure out that you don't like it, which that should be pretty obvious, well, then it becomes even that much more fun. But anyway.
Yeah, and funnier, and everyone. Yeah.
One of the things that I think anyone can tell by listening to this conversation is that you are a total go-for-it girl. And I want to remind you of a little occasion where you encouraged me to go for it. And I think about this all the time, Addie Jane, because to me this is just hilarious. There was a time when we were both visiting Texas together.
Mm-hmm.
And so we met up at the airport. We certainly lived in different places, but we met up at the airport, and then we went to pick up a rental car. And this was before you were driving, just slightly before you were driving.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got to the rental car agency, they had been slow at getting cars in. So we had to sit there and wait for a car. And they kept telling us, well, there are going to be some cars soon. But if I wanted to, I could get a van. And I said, well, my goodness, I had never driven a van. And I said, well, I can't drive a van. My goodness, I'm not a soccer mom. I'm not a plumber. You know, how on earth could I drive a van? So we just sat there and waited, and then we checked. And then finally you said to me, you said, Kay, you know, I just think you could drive a van. And you said it with so much authority, you know, there was just absolutely no way I could disagree. So I kind of looked at you and I said, do you really think so? You know, and I don't know why, Addie. I mean, it never crossed my mind that, of course, I could drive a van. People drive vans. All I could think of was truly, you know, well, I'm not a plumber.
Yeah.
Anyway, we took the van, and we loved it, didn't we? It was.
We had a great time in the van.
We had a great time in the van, and it wasn't hard to drive, and it was so funny. And so I just think about that all the time and how, you know, how you just had the so much authority in your voice when you said, I think you could drive a van. I had to listen to you. I love that. And then another story that for me continues to be a happy memory, that same trip, you know, I was in the process of buying this winter home in Texas, and so a condo in Texas, and I wasn't planning on moving furniture here. I was just buying furniture here. And there was, you went with me to an antique store, and we found this very strange bedroom furniture.
Yeah.
Very, very unusual. And it is circa, I think, about 1938, and I would call it cowboy deco. And you really gave me a lot of encouragement to buy it. And I said, you know, it's just not what I was going to, you know, it's cool, it's different, but it's not what I had in mind, and blah, 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 blah. And I will never forget the way you made a case for it. I mean, it was masterful. And I say this to you as a lawyer. I mean, you could have done this in the courtroom. And I said, you know, I was just off of that trip to Italy, you know, and I wanted something kind of in this condo. I had envisioned it being kind of more European and romantic and girly girl and that sort of thing. And you started talking about the power and the femininity of this furniture and about how suits with stiff shoulder pads from the 1940s and the small waist and, you know, I just, it was amazing, Addie. It was just amazing. And by the time I heard your pitch for it, I was ready. I drank the Kool-Aid. I was down there the next day, as you know, on the day on the way to the airport, and we bought it. You know,
I
had
remember.
Them store it. We had them store it for 6 months. But anyway, that was just such an amazing insight.
What were you going to say?
It's just an amazing insight to your power with words, and it's one of the reasons I think you have made a really good choice in terms of a major, unless you're going to tell me that you've changed it, but
again,
to major in marketing.
Which is actually, it's switching again.
Is it really? What are you thinking of doing now?
I began the marketing classes. And I just really, I was in two economics classes, which I really struggled with. And next semester, I was going to have to take this business class and accounting, and I was going to have to take statistics. And I've never been a math person. So I was actually talking to a combination of something between my advisor had told me, who started making me think of this more. And then I'm doing an internship this summer. And the woman who I'm working for told me to do this instead of marketing. But I'm going to do communications.
Oh, really? How interesting.
Yes, because she said that, and my advisor had put it the same way, like if you're not, and I'm not good at math. And it's not even that I'm not good at it. I don't like math. So if it's something I don't like, I'm not going to be as driven to do well in it. So I think with economics, I really tried, and I think I kind of got really discouraged and just sort of gave up, which would obviously happen. I didn't like the class. So I figure the woman I'm doing the internship for, too, which made me feel so much better about my changing my mind, because I told her that I was wanting to switch to communications, and she said, oh, well, you know, with marketing and communications, you get the same kind of stuff. Just with communications, you don't have to do the math. You just have to be a people person. So I figure...
Well, I suppose. Now, let me tell you my perspective on that.
Okay.
My undergraduate degree ended up being communications,
mm-hmm.
and I have a minor in business. So at my particular school, there was a combination program. So my minor in business means I had all of the prerequisites for an MBA. It would have
right.
only taken me another year of school to get an MBA, but I decided, you know, I went to law school instead of that. But I took those courses you mentioned, the economics and the statistics and all of that. And I think it's really sad that you don't get some marketing classes as a marketing major, you know, when you first start.
I know.
And I kind of liked economics. I found it rather intuitive. So it wasn't, you know, that wasn't a problem for me. But
mm-hmm.
I think you'll have to be careful when, as a communications major, in terms of what you take, because it's actually, in my opinion, and it may not be at University of Rhode Island, but I think it's a pretty easy degree to get, is
mm-hmm.
the way I would put it. And there are a lot of fluffy courses that you can take, and the reason I know that is I took some of them. But I will tell you this, one thing that we have in common, and it was a plague of my freshman year of college, and as I understand it, it may have been a plague of yours, and that is chemistry.
Oh, yeah. My first major, and I'm thinking I'm going to minor in it, was TMD, which is textile merchandising and design. So it's very similar to what I would have done at FIT.
Right.
So I'm thinking I might minor in that along with my major, or I'm going to minor in the marketing because it's just a different setup. But, I had to take chemistry my first semester, and I had taken it in high school and had a hard time with it. But college chemistry, it was basically the same course that I took my junior year of high school, but it was ridiculous. Like the type of thing, we did two chapters a day, and then we met three times a week, and I had a lab, and my lab was ahead of my lecture. So every time I went for a lab, I didn't know any of what I needed to know because my lecturer had not gone over it yet. So I got stuck in this spot, and I ended up having to drop the class, which...
Annie...
Yeah.
In a just world, there would
mm-hmm.
be no chemistry. There would be no
I
chemistry.
Know. But see, some people love chemistry. Some people are great. I don't know what kind of people those are, but
who are
I'd
they?
Love to meet
who are
one.
They?
I'd
see,
love
and,
to meet one.
Well, you have met one, but I do not really talk about him here. Okay.
Okay.
But here is the thing. Chemistry, you know, there's that stupid table of the elements. I mean, what
mm-hmm.
what is that? I mean, if they have names, you know. I mean, why? It seems like it's just unnecessary to me.
Yes,
you know.
I agree. Everything on that chart has a name that we call it every single day. Well, not even
exactly.
every single day. Like, we don't even say them that much. But in one way or another, we make a reference to those elements all the time. But then you go into class, and you have to learn a whole new name for it.
Exactly.
And not only do you have to learn the name, you have to learn the weight, the mass, the number, the symbol, the everything.
You have to turn it into an equation.
Which
and
isn't
when you
fair.
Mentioned, it is not fair. And when you mentioned chemistry lab, that is
mm-hmm.
the worst. That is the worst. They ought to send, you know, that's where they should send criminals. Is to chemistry lab.
Oh, I agree.
That is a much more appropriate punishment than prison, mm-hmm. I think. And you go there, you know, one of the things that you're going to do when you go to chemistry lab, and it's just pretty much a disaster in my opinion from what I remember, is you have to choose a lab partner.
Oh, yes, the lab partner.
It's horrible. It is horrible. Because, I mean, what do you do? This really could be a whole area of counseling, you know, to get people mm-hmm. ready for that whole experience. Do you go for the nerdy boy? Do you go for the cute boy? Do you go for the cute nerdy boy?
That's the issue.
It is
the
issue.
That's the issue. Because we had a cute boy and we had a nerdy boy. And I was ripped between the two of them because the first day of class, I stood in between them. So when she ended up splitting us up, and I ended up with the cute boy, and I wish I'd been ended up with the nerdy boy, because the cute boy had no idea what he was doing and was depending on me to know everything, but I didn't know a thing. And the nerdy boy ended up knowing everything. So
the only thing I can say that might make you feel a little bit better
mm-hmm.
is that if you had gotten the nerdy boy, he would have been stupid and the cute boy would have been smart.
That's very true. Either way, I would have ended up with the dumb lab
exactly.
partner.
I mean, it is just part of the cruelties of chemistry class. You are going to end up with the wrong lab partner.
Not only that, but chemistry sets you up to fail. It doesn't want you to do well.
Well, that is really true. But
I don't think
you know,
chemistry wants to be figured out.
Chemistry wants to earn its bad reputation.
And not only that, chemistry wants to be exclusive. So only a select few can be good at chemistry.
Well, that is true. That is true. And you really don't want to be one of those people except when you
have to be.
When you get your GPA, maybe you wish you were. But I will tell you this. I will reveal this. When I was a freshman in college, I flunked my chemistry class. And my professor's name, Addie, I know this just sounds like something made up, but it is really true.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Boring. Dr.
Boring. Boring.
Dr. Boring. And in case you wondered, yes, he was. And I did so poorly on that final exam. I do not know why I even bothered. And it just, once again, it sounds like something that I would make up for comedic effect. Believe me, it is the truth. I actually even misspelled my name on my exam.
There you go. Because you were bored. You weren't paying attention.
I don't know, but my Dr. Boring, you know, called me aside when the results were delivered and, you know, talked to me about it. And it was, he said, I've never seen anything like this. To say that I found chemistry difficult is just kind of something of an understatement. Yep.
Yeah, so neither of us made the VIP list.
Well, you know, the thing about it is there are other things. And besides chemistry, fortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it is so delightful to share that with you. You know?
Yes.
I mean, it's kind of like a family, it's something that we can take pride in together. But here's something that I think is cool. So if you're going to major in communication, which let's face
mm-hmm.
it, you are now for the moment until you
mm-hmm.
change your mind again.
Until I change
right?
I will, which I will.
So, you know, you can probably just follow me into my media empire. You can become a part of my media empire, which you already are. Let's face it, as a regular featured guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio.
That's very true.
You know, it to me, one of the things that is striking is your enthusiasm when I mention this. You know, you just hardly even knew what to say, right?
I was speechless.
You were speechless. Okay, so you brought this up a little earlier, and I am extremely interested in this, speaking of my new media empire. You know, for me, it is new media. But I just wonder if that expression has any meaning to someone in your generation, because for you, there was no old media. You know, it's all new media is old media. It's the only media you know, correct?
I think in some ways. I think the expression to someone in my age group and like new media is iPhones and iPads and things like that, because we had a computer when I was younger, but it was so different. I would think that new media just holds a different definition, because we've always, I mean, I remember when we first got our computer, and I remember it ran so differently than they do now. So I think saying new media is like the whole Apple era.
Well,
I would consider that new.
That is interesting. You know, the funny thing is that even though you are my niece and I tend to know you a little bit, I always, when I have a guest on Women Are Not Funny Radio, I do research on them, and that involves, you know, it's actually a pretty intensive process in some ways. It's more than just the Google search. But when I did the Google search on you, you didn't come up a lot. And I think that may be by design. I think that you have not worked at having a very visible online presence. Is that true?
I don't want one at all.
I know.
Yeah, so
that's pretty plain.
I'm happy to hear.
Well, I did find you on, now see, one of the things, Addie, I am the owner of a deleted Facebook account. I am not on Facebook. I hate Facebook. But I did find you on Facebook, and it was interesting because the photo there was one of you with two friends. So, you know, once again, someone who doesn't know you wouldn't really even know
who
you were.
Would have no idea which one I was. Exactly.
Exactly. So,
yep. I don't use my last name on my Facebook. And I actually, I have fights with Facebook. I deactivate it all the time, and then I'll reactivate it for a day. I can't decide if I like it or not. I really, and which is weird because so many people love it. And people, I have friends that are always on it. And I think part of the reason I don't like it is one of my roommates is, I would venture to say that she's probably a Facebook addict. So I can't decide what I think.
Well, so many people love it, and they really get a lot out of the experience, but I am not one of them. And, you know, we could talk, I could tell you my Facebook stories, even though our hour is drawing to the end, but there is no need. You mentioned another thing that is related to this, and I'm very curious about it. You mentioned about the fact that since we all have mobile phones, we're all so connected, and that when you are in a dorm room with two others, you can't really ignore your phone the same way you might at home. But isn't that another aspect that is really different about college life these days, is that you can constantly sit there with your phone and text each other? Do you do this during class? Do you do this, you know, do you get phone calls and text messages a million times a day from your friends?
Well, I found that actually I use my phone a lot less at school, just because you're always with somebody you know, and I know that, like, when you come back to your room, everybody's there. Everybody ends up knowing your schedule. And everyone, for the most part, that I was – my closest friends all lived on the same floor of a building, which I didn't live in their building, but – They all lived on the same floor. So every time you were done with a class, every time you were in a class, everyone knew where you were. So they knew when to expect you back. And if you didn't come back, they were confused. They didn't really know where you were. And that's when you would get the text. The, like, where are you? You're missing. Like, your mom looking for you. But it's my friends looking for me.
So essentially what you're describing is the death of privacy.
there's no privacy. And I think the only way, even at home, that I can get privacy is to turn my phone off, and which I do from time to time, because especially, like, I have a BlackBerry, and so I don't know if you're familiar with BBM, but if you're BBM friends with somebody, you can tell from the moment that that text message was sent, when it got delivered to the person's phone, and when they read it.
If
they read it and they don't respond, then you're like, oh, well, they're ignoring me, which I don't like that much.
Yeah, it is a
sometimes
different
I
world.
Like it. But yeah.
Abby
no
Jane, thank you so much for spending an hour with us this afternoon. Your exuberance and your fun spirit has really made it fun for me. And I look forward to another conversation really soon. And listeners, next week's guest is the fabulous Carol Pierce. She's the author of Jump Now, Look Later. What do you think about that, Addie?
Sounds good. I like the title.
Yeah, love the title. She and I are going to be talking about compensation and how and why women can charge what they're worth. So thank you, Addie.
Thank you. It was good talking to you.
Thank you.